Back in 2013, I took a sabbatical to New Zealand, and I worked for the New Zealand Sports Turf Institute. And I want to up front thank them for their support and for making this work possible. Well, the work I'm going to be presenting is from what I did there in 2013. So when I got there, they handed me this device called the Greens Tester, and with it a protocol to measure green smoothness called the holing out test developed by the RNA. And what this Greens Tester is, it's a curved ramp where you line up balls so that you line up the ramp so you can get two balls going in the hole consecutively in the center of the hole. And then once you've done that, run 10 consecutive balls and count how many out of 10 go in the hole. And the idea is the more that go in, the smoother or truer the surface. So they gave me this device and said, Doug, we know what you can do. Do something with this to see if it works. So that was my plan or part of my research for the Institute. So here you see a picture of the stint meter along with the Greens Tester. And the Greens Tester has that little black box which you move up and down and adjust your speed so that you can get the ball going perfectly right in the center of the hole at the ideal speed. This is just a picture on the left. I'll go back up a little bit here. The Greens Tester has a flatter angle going into the green compared to the stint meter. The ball still bounces as it comes off the ramp, and on the left you can see the picture. I just want to quickly show a video here. Let's see. Here we are. And watch as ball number two exits the ramp. I'll talk more about that ball exiting as well, but you can see the ball still bounces. So the first project I did was just a trialing out this Greens Tester. I did a plot study just to see if this thing works, so I created a 9 cultivation treatment study to create a wide range of disruption, and I just used this device and the hole out test to see if I can assess recovery and see any differences between the treatments. Before I show you the results, I got another video which kind of summarizes the results. So this is the bumpy surface, and you can see how the ball bobbles up and down and snakes left and right. Right, so now you'll see as the camera goes up, you see how rough it looks. Right, this is a smoother surface. That plate represents the golf hole, and all the balls are on the same line going over the plate. So that would be 10 out of 10 balls going in the hole. This last scene is a bumpy surface, and watch how ball 3 will exit the ramp. That's ball 1, 2, here comes ball 3. Immediately goes left, misses the plate. So watch as the ball stops. It's hitting a lot of aeration holes. Every ball goes over the plate except the one that came off the ramp incorrectly. So this was kind of a surprise to us, and at first we thought, well, let's just throw this device and protocols in any good. Here's some data. I didn't do any statistics on it. Pretty much 4 days after cultivation, there was no differences in trueness between the treatments, although there was a wide range of visual quality and the balls were bouncing all over the place. This is a picture 8 days. The holes were still wide open. So what was going on here? Well, surprisingly, the balls rolled across plots with open core holes, bobbled and snaked, yet most of them went over that plate or in the hole. Scratching our heads, maybe this hole-out test was measuring something other than visual trueness, because we could see the balls bouncing, and it would be totally unacceptable by a golfer, but it kept going over that plate. Just to expand a little bit, here's kind of what we thought was going on maybe at a putt less than 10 foot. If you set the device so you have the proper line, which means the ball goes in the center of the cup, and at the proper speed, which means when it misses, it goes only 2 or 3 inches by, that at this distance, the surface disruptions weren't causing enough deviation for the ball to miss the hole. And then a few comments about the Greens Tester. It's a good device for a golf pro to show a golfer how the line's going to go for their putt. There are some ball exiting issues. You saw two instances here. And about 20% of the balls exited incorrectly, and what I did, I kind of watched and had to omit those and re-roll the ball. So that led us to our second project. The Institute wanted me to go on the road and do a golf green performance study, and they wanted me to measure trueness. And I thought, well, I got this device, it's not really doing anything for me. Let me come up with some other methods to measure trueness, and I'll just take it on the road and compare all the methods. So project two was just to compare three methods to measure trueness. And I visited 50 golf courses throughout New Zealand and measured from 150 greens. This was all the data, the variables I measured for the bigger study. For this presentation, I'm just going to talk about the trueness data using the three methods. And here at that time in 2013, I guess the Spiro ball was around, but Scott, we didn't have that. These were the only methods kind of available. Still today, STRI's trueness meter, it's proprietary. You can't buy it. And then the other three tests, I'll explain what they were here in the next few minutes. So the first test, the spread test, pretty simple. Take the ramp, run 4 to 6 balls, and when each ball stops, put a piece of chalk or a chalk mark, and then after you roll your balls, just measure the length and the width, and I call that spread. And the idea is the bumpier the surface, or the less true the surface, the wider the spread, and vice versa. As far as results, this would be across the 150 greens. The device, or this test, was difficult to administer because of the ball exiting issues. They had to watch carefully and re-roll balls. And then there's a tracking effect as well. Running a ball off the ramp at the same position, the balls run on the same line, so the consecutive balls, or the one after, rolls farther because the one before it has rolled the grass down just a little bit. So you get that effect as well. And when you're measuring spread, that kind of made it much more subjective than I was expecting. Below is just a graph of the data. I guess you'd call this a histogram. The out of 150 greens, which ones had which. Is not quite a bell curve, but not as bad as you'll see for the hold-out test. The tracking effect, just a slide here on that. This is the ball that exited incorrectly. The other balls just kept hitting each other, running on the same track. The next test was the holding out test. I explained earlier how that operates. Run 2 balls into the center of the hole, then run 10 more. And I did this just once per green at about an 8-foot putt. As far as results, this was difficult to administer. Sometimes it takes up to 5 minutes to get that ramp lined up at the right speed so it goes in the center of the hole. And so that was a little bit frustrating time-wise. The ball exiting issues were still there, and then the tracking effect is there as well because the balls kept going faster and faster, and that has an issue, a small issue. Looking at the data, again, a histogram of all the greens tested, about 80% of them had 10 out of 10 going over the hole. And this kind of relates back to the preliminary study, which said that no matter what the disruption on the green is, they're all going over the plate. So this was 150 greens, a wide range of quality across New Zealand, and most of the greens are saying they're 10 out of 10, and perfect trueness. The last test is the bobble test. This test has been around for lots of years. It's a visual measure of trueness. You just roll balls off the ramp and watch how many times it bounces or snakes and give it a number. Right. So here's my scale that I use. The Sports Turf Institute and STRI have used this for lots of years, and this is their training guide for their agronomists here on the right. I'm not sure if this is a proprietary thing, but I found it, stuck it up there. You know, a 10 would be the ball doesn't move or bounce or bobble or snake, and a 1 would be not so great. As far as results of the bobble test, it's very easy to administer. It gave me a wider range of trueness than the other tests. So you can see almost the bell curve there. And then I ran some correlations between all of them, and I just want to report some of the more interesting ones. There was a weak correlation between the holding out test, making those balls, and the bobble test. And so you can see some of the numbers related to that. And then I scratched my head a little bit more, like, well, what if I broke the greens down into different categories, poa, bent grass, sand? Does that do anything? Really didn't make anything that more interesting or anything stand out. Essentially, there wasn't much of a relationship between making a putt with a hole-out test and what you visually see. So the conclusions were the greens tester, if you're going to use this one or want to buy it, watch out for the exiting issues and tracking issues. The hole-out and bobble test are measuring different things, and I wrote it here as the bobble test is measuring how the surface affects the ball, where the hole-out test measures how the surface affects the ball going into the hole. And you know, which one do you think golfers are more concerned about? Whether the ball goes in the hole or whether how many times it bounces? Right. Yeah, it's a good question. So I did a survey this year, and I'm still in the process of collecting more results for that survey to see what golfers think of this. And then lastly, the hole-out test proves that despite the appearance of the putting surface and how the ball visually rolls, balls can still be holed when hit on the proper line with the proper speed. Now, I don't think golfers want to ever hear that, but that's kind of interesting. So just some follow-up research, which I started this year. I, again, did the golfer survey, and then I'm also working, I'm in the process of doing a plot study with the same three methods, but this time using the Perfect Putter. This is a device that I came across about a year ago, and it has a much flatter angle, and the ball doesn't bobble. There's no exiting issues with this one, and so a little more reliable than the greens tester, in my opinion. So stay tuned for that. So at this point, which is the best method? Of those three, I would say the bobble test because of the simpleness, and the others were more subjective than we were expecting. But stay tuned. As you know, there's more research what Scott was doing. Sean Askew down at Virginia Tech has a device he's playing around with. So stay tuned. There'll be more research on this. Thank you.